Well, good morning, Tucson. This is Tom Moulton, the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. Easy for me to say this morning. And you're listening to Jump in Tucson. Five new shows every weekday beginning at 9 o'clock where we feature the folks that aren't afraid to jump in and get the work done. We have really some special guests today. Now, if you're here to listen to a sports show, you're on the wrong network. We're going to talk about the history of the railroad and how important it really was to all kinds of opportunities, whether it be cultural or whether it be business conference. And we have all the experts here today. Ken Carrolls, oh, we call him Kenneth. Okay, out of respect, he's
Ken.
Okay, today we're going to be informal. Right, guys?
Yes.
All right. And Kenneth is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum, but he brought along some very special guests, and they're all historians, and I can tell because they all have gray hair. So just in case you wondered, we have really the facts that we're going to talk about, because I'm full of lots of Western legends. So throughout the show, they'll probably set me straight a few times. You know, be kind, folks. Be kind, okay? Because, you know, I, being an old Tucson GM from the past and a calico ghost town, we survived on the stories of the Old West, which weren't necessarily all true. But it was entertaining. That was the most important. So today, we hope this morning that we have a very entertaining show with facts. But it's okay, Dave, if you want to talk about the legends, because the legends sometimes become history. But those special guests that I was referring to are historians Dave Devine and Bill Colt. Now, they all wrote books and articles and everything about the history of Tucson and how important the railroad was. Bill, are you there on the phone?
I certainly am.
Okay, great. So I want to say good morning to all of you today.
Good morning, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, Bill.
And glad you were here. Now, you have to say that these historians are the real things, because Tucson was a railroad town, and that was by Bill. Okay, Bill, congratulations. Wonderful article. And then David, or Dave, what would you like to be called today? Dave, okay. I guess that's your formal name here on this document, but... Yeah. Slavery, scandal, and steel rails. That all comes back to the railroad, doesn't it?
That is correct.
So that's what we're here today to talk about, lots about railroads, okay? And if you were a little kid, you probably rode a railroad. I used to ride the train all the time to see my grandparents in Missouri, okay? I wasn't in Missouri, though. I was in Illinois. So my parents would drop me off at 9 o'clock at the rail station, and I would meet the conductor, and a very nice gentleman, and he watched over me until I got turned over to my grandparents. So the hospitality industry, I think, grew in the railroad industry, because I just have happy, happy memories.
Absolutely.
About riding the, you know, it was certainly more than a commuter route, and it wasn't Amtrak. I don't remember what it was, Illinois Central or something like that, maybe.
Rock Island.
But, oh, yes, okay. And I had I was born in 1952, the rail service was very, very active. And my dad used to ride the rail system from the suburbs of Illinois to downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, he was 1 minute away from the train station. And you know what? He drove his car there. I never could figure that out, you know, because now you probably would bicycle or walk. But that's how he got to work every day in downtown Chicago, was riding the train. So trains have kind of been somewhat part of my life. I mean, we got our first Lionel Railroad system when I was five, and every Christmas, we got a new car. And, you know, we didn't care about all the other stuff. We got that new railroad car for our Lionel train set. Now, who knows where that Lionel train set is these days, because one day it disappeared from our house. Now, there's rumors about where it went. But to this day, still apparently talk about the lost Lionel set. You know, when they were all made out of metal?
Oh, yeah.
Not plastic, okay? I mean, I think the wheels still need to be made
exactly,
out of metal.
Exactly, and the boxes were orange. And
very good. Was there a little window so you could see inside?
Yep, and lights.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. And my dad built this big One side was ping pong, and you take it and you move it down. He was a furniture maker. He turned it down, and then there was the Lionel Railroad set. So we didn't have to wait for Christmas to play with our trains. We could play with our trains every single day. And they used to drop these little tablets in there where the engine would smoke.
Yeah.
You didn't have to push a button. It would just go around and it would smoke. Right. So we are so honored to have Kenneth Carrolls here, the executive director of the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum, who's going to kind of lead us through, and then we're going to turn over to our special guest, really special guest, Steve Ochoa, who not only was a very popular television broadcaster, he's also the great-grandson of Estevan Ochoa. Now, you're going to hear a lot about Estevan, and it won't be legend.
No.
Oh, Dave's not going to let me talk about the legends of Estevan. He's going to talk nothing but facts. But he was the mayor of Tucson in around 1875 or so, and there's a lot of really positive things to talk about your great-grandfather, Steve. So, Steve Ochoa, thank you very much for coming here. Ken, let's start with you, sir.
Tom, thank you again. Good morning, and for bringing the voice to the people here. I really appreciate it. This morning, just to piggyback on the railroad, Amtrak came in from Los Angeles going to Texas and on to New Orleans, but it was scheduled for 6 o'clock in the morning. It was here right on time. So just so our viewers know that you can also catch a train from Tucson to L.A. for as little as $35, or go from Tucson to New Orleans or to Texas, or splitting up at San Antonio and catching a train to Chicago. So I just wanted to let
Ken
know about that.
It's okay if you want to say we're sponsored by Amtrak today.
Yes, Amtrak.
I'll send them a bill.
I'll send them the bill. Okay. But I want to also give special thanks to our sponsors. Rio Nuevo, as far as the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum, and Fletcher McCusker, who's been really just a dynamite as far as what he's been able to create and do downtown. Union Pacific Railroad, Bruce Beach, Jim Click, Norris Design, Tucson Lifestyle, Downtown Partnership, Kathleen, Ace Hardware, Joe Findes, and what he's been able to do over there in Ace Hardware stores down throughout the city. We're located just to briefly Toole and Pennington, so you know. And we've just started a multicultural 1,000 square foot mural, the arrival of the railroad. And this is just in its first phase of it. There'll be two more phases left. It'll be completed. Bill Cult will be talking a little bit about that aspect of it.
Okay, hold that thought. We have our first break of the day, and we're going to be back with more of Ken and a lot more of Steve and Dave. We won't forget about you and Bill. We'll be back in just a few moments, and we're here talking about the railroad and how it impacted the lives of Tucson, Arizona. Well, we're back here today. We're having
roughly
a lively
Bartlett, Illinois,
yeah,
which is southwest.
Okay.
Hey guys, we are on the air, and thank you very much for our guests being here today. We have Ken and Dave, and we have Steve, and we have Bill on the phone, and they are wonderful folks, full of the history of the railroad. So let's start again with you, Ken, and then we're going to turn it over to some of these folks that are really played a big part, or at least their ancestors played a big part of the history of the railroad.
Okay, thank you, Tom. And you mentioned earlier as far as Steve's background, but one piece of it that you should know, he also teaches a memory clinic at the Canyon Ranch, and he keeps telling me, but I always forget to call him and attend his memory clinic.
You and I need to go to that class. I forgot, too.
You forgot, too. Well, see, that's because we're turning a little silver now. Steve, I just want to turn it over to Steve. He could take it over there and fill us in what.
Well, I've got to tell you, it's a pleasure to be with you wonderful human beings. You do a lot for this community. I can't even begin to share the accolades that you so richly deserve, you and Dave and Tom. And I have been privileged to be associated with you since I think 2005, right, Ken, when you started the Jubilee?
Correct.
And so the great thing about this is I've got a little opportunity to use some of my MC, hopefully, techniques. And I want to interject something very, very quickly. One of the things I've done is I've kind of have affinity towards two wonderful charities, Team Lizzie Bell and Bella Vita. Two wonderful charities here in Tucson that take care of medically need children and pediatrics. It's a wonderful charity. But the great thing is they're having a pickleball tournament down at the world-famous Corbett's. It's really right west of the train depot. It's on 6th Street and 7th Avenue, and it's going to be the 13th of April. And it's going to be from about 11:30 till 4:30, and they're looking for entries. And they would like love people. If you don't play pickleball, this isn't a real serious tournament. It's really for the community to come out and support these two wonderful charities. Anyways, we've got an opportunity to have two men teams. We're going to have food. We're going to have libation, and a wonderful raffle with it's $20 a ticket. But with some wonderful prizes. So come on down and see us on the 13th of April for the pickleball tournament. And that's kind of my civic duty for nonprofit charities this morning. But, Ken, the great thing is on the 16th of March, you're going to get ready to conduct the Jubilee. And what year is this relative to the amount of time we've been doing this? We've been doing this since 2005.
Oh, that's correct. We've started there, opening up our doors on March 20th, 2005, 11 o'clock with Bob Walkup.
Right, yeah. Well, it's great. And I'm honored and very, very privileged to be your MC. And we've got the wonderful Dave Devine that brings the historical component to our celebration. And we have Dave with us this morning. And the great thing is I was learning a lot about my great-grandfather, Don Esteban Ochoa, was the mayor here in 1875, a one-year term. So, but I didn't realize this. He actually moved on to the territorial legislature in 1877. This is news to me. I learned something about our wonderful family heritage almost on a weekly basis. So, I am thrilled to be coming back, and hopefully we'll be seeing most of you down at the train depot. Ken, what time are we going to start that off on the 16th of, which is a Saturday, by the way?
Yeah, it'll be starting at 9:30 as far as the music.
Okay.
With the 4th Cavalry Band. And then 10 o'clock will be our commencement, get it started, and but the background music. Get there about 9:30. Parking is free. There'll be plenty of available space.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the train depot. And also down at, I forgot to mention this, but at Corbett's, there's plenty of downtown parking. Most of these entities, the train station and Corbett's, are located north a couple blocks of the hub of downtown. So the great thing is there's plenty of parking. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody coming out on Saturday. We have a nice contingency, Ken. I think the multitudes find their way. So let me do this. Let me go over and introduce to you Dave Devine, who is really a very well thought of historian here in Tucson. And Dave, welcome to this morning's Jump on Tucson.
Why, thank you, Steve. And I would just like to say or remind everyone that not only did the railroad literally put Tucson on the map, Southern Pacific was the largest employer in town through 1950. So thousands of people worked for the company at one time. And as we all know, on St. Patrick's Day, 1880, the mayor, Mr. Leatherwood, sent out a telegram to various dignitaries, including the Pope, saying that the railroad was about to arrive in Tucson. And on March 20th, there was a grand ceremony with over 1,000 people went down by the Santa Cruz River to have a dinner. And there were a lot of speeches that day that went on for hours and hours. And somebody stood up and said the Pope had responded to the mayor's telegram. And The Pope's reply said something to the effect that he wished to congratulate the people of Tucson on being connected for the first time to the outside Christian world, but for his own edification would ask, where in hell is Tucson? Now,
the legend has it.
Legend has it, yes. That is one of these stories that's unconfirmed about the railroad. What is confirmed is that the arrival of the railroad changed this community entirely. For the first time, wood was available, so the construction went from adobe to wood to lumber. For the first time, food was inexpensive because prior to that, it had to be locally grown. And for the first time, people could get here relatively easily instead of having to come by stagecoach. And so the community was looking forward to a bright future, and eventually that did happen.
Dave, can you tell us a little bit now how it was very significant, but that railroad connected to the rest of the world how?
Well, as those of us who are interested in railroads know, the first transcontinental railroad connected basically Missouri to California, to Sacramento, and then San Francisco. And then the Southern Pacific was built from San Francisco to Los Angeles. And the four men who owned that railroad, Hollis Cunnington, Leland Stanford, Charles Crocker, and Mark Hopkins, decided to build and pay for a road to connect Los Angeles with New Orleans, where they hold a shipping company. And so the railroad that came through here connected Los Angeles with New Orleans and put Tucson literally on the map.
What was our engagement with the border at that time with our friends from Mexico?
The border was completely open. And so there, it was very friendly, but of course it was very difficult because everything was done by either horse or wagon or walking. And so there wasn't a whole lot of commerce between the two. And the railroad changed that eventually also.
And clearly that's our most important commerce partner to Arizona right now.
That is correct, yeah.
So, Steve, back to you, okay. You also had the opportunity to play another famous guy here in town. He owned a hardware store, if I remember.
I did, yeah.
And there's a lot of those Ronstadts kind of hanging out in town still.
Yeah, well, it was rather ironic that I was fortunate to portray Frederico Ronstadt. And I was just with Linda. We had a little reception for it at the Arizona Inn, and it was great to reminisce how an Ochoa played a Ronstadt. And we had a good couple laughs about that. Linda and I went to school to St. Peter and Paul's way back in the dinosaur ages. And so she was second through, I think she told me she was second through fourth grade with me, whatever it is. So we used to get in all kinds of trouble and, you know, not having any idea about our pioneer history here in Tucson. But I'm just really thrilled to be here with Dave and our friend Mr. Cault is at home today, and we're just been so great to have his tutelage, and of course our dear friend Ken Carroll. We're really looking forward to the commemoration of the railroad coming to Tucson, March 20th, 1880. As Dave said so eloquently a few minutes ago, it really changed the configuration of Tucson. And I'm extremely privileged and very, very proud that my great-grandfather and others saw the need to watch this community grow, and they really had to have the railroad to make that happen. He sacrificed his own personal business, recognizing that when the railroad did come into Tucson, it probably would shut down the iron horse, replaced the regular horses in terms of his freighting business. So, but he was dedicated to the history and to the growth of this. It was a territory back at the time, but look at now, 1,200,000 people living in Tucson, Arizona in 2024.
Thank you, Steve. And we're going to be back with the rest of the group here. And Bill, that's your notice that you'll be back live on the air in just a few minutes. This is Jump In Tucson, KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Talk. Welcome back. This is Jump In Tucson, and I'm Tom Moulton, the Executive Director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and my guests today are Kenneth and David and Steve, and Bill is on the phone, and Bill, stand by. You're going to be up in just a moment or so, but I have to give a special plug to my boss, Dr. Ed Ackerley, who will be on the air tomorrow beginning at 9 a.m., and he has just a wonderful list of guests tomorrow, and I'll just kind of mention them all, and they all are talking about different things, but Jesse Lugo will be here to talk about an update on the 22nd Street Bridge, Michael Higgs from the McDonald's Open House, and Dr. Eric Kramer and Dr. Michael Fallon will be here, and they're going to talk a little bit about the Wilson disease, which is a terrible disease, and Janet Hare lost a daughter to this horrific disease. So they're going to be talking a little bit about that as well. So we're back again talking about the history of the railroad and how important it was to really the taking a small little sleepy town here in the desert to the huge mecca of tourism and commerce that it is today. Without the railroad, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking on the radio, and we owe it to several folks, but the great grandfather of Steve Ochoa, our guest today, was a big part of it, first as mayor and then, of course, as the territory legislature. Now, if you don't know what that means we did not become a state, official state of Arizona or the United States, I should say, until 1912. Okay, so obviously the railroad had a lot to do with the wonderful growth of Tucson. We're going to get back with Dave here about the history. Now, I just want to remind everyone that there's two wonderful books written by Bill Cult and also by David Devine. And Bill's book was Tucson Was a Railroad Town, and David's book is called Slavery, Scandal, and Steel Rails. Now, we know they're available at both of these books at the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. And, you know, if you don't know where that is, okay, it's located really right next to the Historic Depot. And that was what was the building that you're in right now associated with the depot?
It was the Records Building, which was constructed in 1907 for the Southern Pacific Railroad. So it was the depository for the maps, the important papers, and it was also, looks like a vault from the outside. It's windowless, and it's about a foot thick as far as, so it holds the air pretty well there. It doesn't get too hot or too cold.
That's great. And
1907, they had it.
Yeah. And they're all part of a several large renovations that have taken over at the Historic Depot. So Dave, tell us a little bit, and Bill, we'll start with Dave and then we'll go to Bill, about when did this train depot get built? And then there were several renovations along the way.
Well, the original depot was built in 1880, of course, and then by the turn of the 20th century, the business was picking up, so Southern Pacific decided to tear down the original depot and build a new one, and Bill can then talk about that building.
Bill, tell us a little bit about, you know, the succession of renovations, and then let's kind of end with the celebration where we all got a wonderful train whistle by Mayor Bill Walkup, because I remember that, Kenneth, and I think you're the one that gave it to me. You know, so let's go ahead. Bill, you there?
Yes. Well, as Dave said, the first depot was built in 1881, entirely out of wood, which, of course, made it susceptible to fire. In addition to that depot, just to the north of it, the railroad built the Sanevere Hotel, which very few Tucsonans actually know about. It was a luxurious structure at the time, built with a false roof that provided cooling for inside the building, a koi pond out in the middle, and it was a wonderful place to stay. And then in 1903, it burned down and created quite the furor among Tucsonans, and they realized that they should rebuild that depot in a more solid fashion. And in 1907, the wooden depot was deconstructed, and a Spanish-style, missionary-style depot was built out of stone and brick, a real solid structure that lasted up until 1941, when, again, it was remodeled. And at the time, inside the Western waiting room were lunette paintings by the famous artist Maynard Dixon. He portrayed what he felt were the key factors in Tucson history, the Apache, the miner, irrigation, and the cowboy. And these beautiful paintings hung in the Western waiting room. Well, when that 1907 building was reconstructed in 1941, those paintings were donated to the city of Tucson and stayed in the Tucson Museum of Art. The building in 1941, then, is the structure that we see now. It went through another remodeling in the 2000s, the early 2000s, and reopened as Tucson's Historic Depot. And as you mentioned, Bob Walkup took a major role in bringing that new depot to life and resurrecting Tucson Railroad history. And he, for several years, portrayed Mayor Bob Leatherwood, who greeted the train along with citizens of Tucson in 1880 when it came. And Mayor Leatherwood was instrumental in bringing Tucsonans the understanding of really what railroad meant in Tucson.
That's great. Hey, Bill, I didn't really understand all of the activities that took place, especially in when Estevan in 1877 stood in front of the legislature, or at that time it was the territory legislation, and 1877, and talked about why Arizona needed a railroad. Can you talk a little bit about that, Bill? Do you recall that story?
Well, that's more something that Dave Devine can give you a better heads up on, I think.
All right, Dave.
Let's turn it over to Dave.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, Estevan Ochoa worked with the territorial governor, APK Safford, because they understood that to open up the territory, a railroad would be essential. And Mr. Ochoa introduced the bill. It was defeated three times in the legislature because there were parochial interests who were opposing a railroad coming through the southern part of the territory. But eventually they got it passed with the provision that a railroad could also cross through the northern part of the territory. And so with that amendment, the bill was passed, and that allowed Southern Pacific to cross the river, the Colorado River at Yuma in 1877, and where they stopped for a while, and then they started building again, and they stopped again in Casa Grande because they ran out of railroad ties. So in January of 1880, they started building again, and most of the laborers were Chinese, but unlike the first line across the northern part of the country, there were no tunnels to be drilled or no blast to be made, because they were just laying the track literally on the desert floor.
I understand that that train station could have been located 2 miles away from where it is right now. Is that a story that you recall?
That's not a story I've heard.
Is that one of those legends that I warned everybody about?
I don't know. I
knew I was going to get to one of those, Kenneth.
I think Bill has some comments on that. Bill called talking about the O'Dowd plan. I don't have all the information, but Bill can jump in on it.
Bill, you want to? We got 30 seconds to talk about, is this legend or is this fact?
The location of the railroad depot?
Yes. Was it going to be 2 miles away, or was always planned for where it's at right now?
All I've ever heard and read is that it was planned for where it's located now.
So
now, in 1912, this
it was a legend.
It was a legend. Another depot was built in 1912 down near Congress and Main Street, and that was the
Southwestern.
Yeah.
That has its own history. And that probably right. We could dedicate a whole show to that, because I remember when I came in the town, it was a famous Mexican restaurant.
Carlos Murphy's.
Yes, exactly. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And that train depot is still there.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Now, but there's only one active train depot, and that's the historic Tucson. And as you know, Amtrak is our sponsor today. So, because that's the train that is still running. Is it every day?
It's every other day, and okay. There's a plan and strong push to go to daily service and eventually daily commuter service, maybe three times a day, eventually longer term, maybe 5 years.
So we're about ready to go into a break, and I want to start with David or Bill about, so what's the difference between the silver spike and the golden spike, and how that relates to Tucson and the upcoming festival on March 16th? I won't tell you the name, but it has Jubilee in it, because I don't want to give away the story between the gold and the silver spike. We'll be back.
Okay.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Tom Moulton, I'm your host every Thursday. Next week, Thursday, March 14th, we have Scott Marsh on, the CEO of Pima Air and Space and Titan Missile Museum. And let me just tell you, this guy has lots of history about how the two museums started, what kinds of airplanes are in the collection. It's an aviation museum, as well as the Titan Missile Museum, which is the only really operating as a museum and preservation of the old Titan Missile Museum complexes that were all over the Tucson in particular. And it has the only missile, not the nuclear warhead, but the only missile that is still in the silo. You actually can go and experience a kind of a mock launching sequence. Thank goodness none of those were ever launched. So we're back here again with some wonderful historians and the executive director of the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. But where we left off was really about how this all started, okay, and how the reenactment that's going to take place on March 16th. So, Stevie, you're going to be part of that, aren't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have the honor and the privilege to be the MC, but I want to kind of turn this little segment over to our friend Dave Devine, who is the orchestrator of a wonderful reenactment. You're going to see the reenactment. You're going to understand the difference between the pioneer families that have come and brought their expertise along with these wonderful people. So, Dave, why don't you lead us off, and what can our wonderful people expect to see on the 16th of Saturday of March?
Well, as you know, Steve, Bill has really organized this in the past. And what we've done this year is added some new characters. And because we have so many folks talking, I've asked each of them to talk no more than 1 minute, so it won't take very long. And the cast of characters reflects the diversity that the railroad brought to Tucson. So we go from Esteban Ochoa to, even before him, Mark Hopkins, who was one of the big four who financed this railroad, to the Velascos, who were instrumental. He ran Carlos Velasco was ran a Spanish language newspaper here in 1880. And Dennis Tom is a descendant of one of the men who actually worked on the railroad, bringing it, because most of the laborers were Chinese. And then we have Boyd Drachman, who will represent Sam Drachman, who was an early merchant here in town. And so the diversity that we see today in Tucson, and which, in my opinion, is one of our strengths, was reflected 144 years ago when the railroad came to town.
Now, there's a mural project going on, I understand, Kenneth, depicting this wonderful scene that you're going to reenact.
Yeah, the arrival of the railroad. And it just got started last 2 weeks ago. So we've got three panels. The first panel is the work of the Chinese community and doing some of the heavy labor, giving recognition and oftentimes under-recognized for all of what they've done. And so that's panel one. We've worked extensively with the Chinese community in terms of the museum there as far as their board. And Sandy Chan has certainly been just super to help us get through.
Now, this is radio, but I'm holding it up right now for all the folks that are at least here in the studio that kind of see that really what the mural is going to look like, and it's just absolutely. Now, who is this gentleman standing here in the center there with that's standing on a platform?
That's Esteban Ochoa with the silver spike.
Yeah, there we are with the great-grandfather. Now,
take a look at that picture.
Yeah, we did mention a little bit that, and you gave it away, that there is a difference between the gold spike and the silver spike. Where was the gold spike and where was the silver spike?
The gold spike, 1869, Promontory Summit is where we're talking about. And so Lincoln was very, very much behind the development of the Transcontinental Railroad. And so that opened up the doors from Missouri to San Francisco. And it culminated, of course, May 10th, just to repeat, 1869. The silver spike, but this reason it's that we have the silver, not gold. It came from the Tough Nut Mine out of Tucson. And that was the contribution from Tombstone to the city.
And by the way, that mine has reopened in Tombstone, and you can do daily tours of the Tough Nut Mine in Tombstone, Arizona.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's living history on that. Just a footnote on that. And so the third panel of this, and again, when you get a chance, just drive down Toole. It's the mural is facing what would be the old structure there, Madden structure. It's about 1,000 square feet of surface there, and the muralist is Bill Singleton. Bill did the mural at the Presidio, and he was selected based on his what he accomplished there, and that was established in 2007.
Now, you'll be able to see these in progress. They won't be completed for the March 16th event, but you'll be able to see them.
Phase one. Panel one.
Now, you can see this reenactment on March 16th. It begins at 9:30, and of course, we'll just say it a couple times, is at the Historic Depot. What's the address, Kenneth, of the Historic
414
Depot?
414 North Toole. That's the corner of Pennington and Toole. And parking, as I mentioned, is available. This is the 19th anniversary of the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. It will be coming up on 144th anniversary of the arrival. And please take your time, but come on down. It's going to be about several hundred people will be down there enjoying the festivities. We'll be honoring what we do every year. The committee selects a volunteer of the year, and based on their time, energy, timeless effort. And mm-hmm. Sandy Chan will be the benefactor of the year.
Great. We want to thank all the guests from being here today from the Southern Arizona Railroad Museum. Go and visit March 16th through the wonderful event. This is Jump in Tucson. My name's Tom Moulton. Don't forget Ed Ackerley will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock with a whole slew of guests talking about some wonderful community events that are talking about. And don't forget next Thursday on March 14th, Scott Marchand from the Pima Air and Space and Titan Missile. We'll see you next Thursday. Take care.
Thank you.